Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
The Knicks and the Sacramento Kings, and nothing says basketball like playing the Kings multiple times in one week. You get to see De'Aaron Fox. You get to see Dave Jaeger. I mean, it is enticing to watch this 500 team of Sacramento. But in all sincerity, Knicks, just stay the course. Just finish it out. Lose. Two games up. I say up over anybody right now, over Cleveland, who's been a little bit better than the Knicks of late. Beat the Knicks recently. So just continue to do what you're doing. Get to May 14th, and that's what we look at, right? We're 2 months, what's today? March 9th and 5 days away. Now, college basketball kind of starts to take center stage a little bit. Some conference tournaments today. Conference week, championship week starts in full on Monday. Duke, North Carolina, at senior night in Chapel Hill. Zion Williamson not supposed to play in that one. 6 o'clock on ESPN. I don't care who plays, when it is, what it means for seedings. That to me is a sensational basketball game. Better at Cameron because it's a better atmosphere at Cameron than it is at the Dean Dome, but a sensational basketball game. What do we know about college basketball? We'll get to the Giants and the Yankees in just a quick moment. We know that Virginia, unless something very unforeseen happens, will get a one. Tennessee should get a one. Duke, if they win the ACC tournament, will probably get a one. Kentucky, Gonzaga. Gonzaga's going to get one also. So those teams fighting for the one. North Carolina, I guess, can still get one if they win today and win the ACC. All right, let's get into it. The Giants, they've been the big discussion all week. You know, before we get to the Giants, let me spend a moment on this. I don't even care where Antonio Brown signs at this point or gets traded to at this point. I really don't. Just can we be done with this guy? And I'm on a show with two former athletes and great guys, and they seem to take the side of Antonio Brown a lot, and you know, what he's doing is very bright and intelligent, and I think he's one of the biggest fools I've ever seen. I really do. I think the way he's handled this whole thing, I get it. You don't like Ben Roethlisberger, but my God, the shenanigans that this guy pulls, and Mike Maccagnan, good for you. I mean, no team needs a game-breaking wide receiver more than the Jets. I mean, the Jets are desperate for it. But even Mike Maccagnan realizes, you know what? I can't go there. This guy's a dumpster fire. I don't want any involvement with him. Le'Veon Bell, I can deal with that. He was about the money. Antonio Brown, he's about the crazy. I mean, this guy is completely off his rocker. Really. Every day it's a new thing. You want to go somewhere? I can't stand this. I won't stay here. I hate Pittsburgh. I hate Ben. And that's what it boils down to. And that's fine. I get it. You hate Ben Roethlisberger. So then ask to be traded. But the way he's been acting is just unbelievable. And he's hurting his own cause. And you want to pay him huge money to come to your team? Well, you know, a lot of teams have said thanks, but no thanks. And he'll probably get it. He'll probably go to a good team. It'll probably work out in the end for him. But my God, he's tough to root for. All right. Let's get into the Giants. Spend a ton of time on the Giants. The question surrounding them has been, and I think most of us feel this way, what the hell are they doing? Is there a plan in place? Is there a direction that they're heading in? And I think the answer for a lot of us has been no. I mean, are you trying to be good? Are you trying to be bad? Are you trying to deal with the big contracts? Are you trying to move away from Eli Manning? Are you thinking about the new quarterback? Are you thinking about the future? Are you thinking about the present? I mean, what is going on with this organization? And the truth is, you don't know. You don't know. You bring in Kevin Zeitler. You like him at right guard. He's a good player. The offensive line should be better. But first of all, there is no way that you can convince me that this Giants team is going to be good this year. No way. They stink. They have so many holes. And I'm not saying that they can't get better, but here's the thing. I don't know even why. Why is the number one priority to get better when the number one priority should be, and you know what it should be at this point, even if you're the biggest Eli fan in the world, you know what has to be done. The next generation quarterback. And instead of waiting and waiting and waiting, and this is what I cannot wrap my arms around. And maybe you can at 800-919-3776. Maybe you can. I can't wrap my arms around the fact that the Giants claimed they didn't like any of the quarterbacks last year in the draft. Any of them. You know what? I didn't like Lamar Jackson either, so that's fine. But you didn't like Josh Rosen, and you didn't like Sam Darnold, and you didn't like Josh Allen, and whether you liked him or not, you couldn't have gotten Baker Mayfield. Okay, you know what? Fine. But you didn't like the three guys that were available? Really? And now? And I don't know that this is the case, but now there's a chance you're not going to like any of the guys in this draft? Do you not appreciate the quarterback? You're the one of your Dave Gettleman that used the phrase quarterback hell recently, right? You don't want to be in quarterback hell? Well, if you don't take a quarterback here, or you don't trade for Josh Rosen this offseason, you know what you're in? Exactly what you did not want to be in. Quarterback hell. And I gotta be honest with you. The more I think about it, and I don't know that the Giants would even consider going in this direction, the more intrigued I am. If they're going to unload Josh Rosen for a non-first-round selection, that to me is very intriguing. It really, because I'm getting great value. Now, if you looked at him last year and you went into the draft and you said, he's just not going to be good. Like, we don't like his attitude. We don't like his mechanics. We don't think that he's fixable. We don't think you can win with Josh Rosen. Oh, you know what? Fine. But if you went through the process last year and you had to have done your due diligence, you had to have done your due diligence on all these different quarterbacks. Did you really have no interest in Josh Rosen? Because I would think, and again, if you liked him, like if you liked him and you could get him for, let's say, a 3 and a 4, and I know the Giants don't have a 3 this year, but for argument's sake, you know, next year 3 and a 4, this year's 3, next year's 3 and next year's 5, something in that range. If it's this year's 2, which is 37, which you'd love to avoid, but even so, I mean, if you could go after, he was 10th overall last year. Now, granted, he was the 4th quarterback taken, and I don't want to hear, well, did you see him in Arizona? He looked terrible in Arizona. You know, everybody would have looked terrible in Arizona. Everybody. So I don't use that as the line of demarcation that he can't be good in the NFL. And on top of that, how many quarterbacks have you seen year one that you say, he stunk? Troy Aikman, he stunk. Eli Manning, he stunk. Peyton Manning, he wasn't very good. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to be those guys, but the point is, you can't grade him on a year one, especially when you compare it to a lot of quarterbacks that wind up being good later on in their career. So, again, I don't even specifically, I mean, that to me is very intriguing. If that's the avenue you're going, great. If you look at Dwayne Haskins, great. If you take him at 6, wonderful. If you have to move up and get him, then that's what you have to do. But that's where I am with the Giants. And if you're not, then if you're not with us, you're against us. That's kind of how I feel right now. This is a franchise that, and slowly, you've gone from like a small faction of Giants fans have felt like this. It may be time to move on from Eli Manning to a larger faction of Giants fans. You know, maybe it's time to a lot of Giants fans last year. I don't want the running back. Give me the quarterback. To most Giants fans. Yeah, I like Eli. I can have him on this team this year. I don't mind him grooming the next quarterback, but it is time to move on. It is. If you go through another offseason not taking a quarterback, it's franchise malpractice at this point, is what it is. You're the Giants. You want to keep Eli. You want the goodbye tour. You know, I wonder what in the world, and I mentioned this on our show yesterday, what in the world was the no-holds-barred conversation about? All right, Eli, are you going to be back or not back? You'll be back. All right, Eli, are you going to take a pay cut from the $23 million, or were you going to let you keep everything that you were making? No, we're not going to have you take any less. So this no-holds-barred, unbelievable conversation, you'll be back. You're going to get the same money. And it sounds like now there's some semblance of a chance that we're not going to bring in another quarterback. If the Giants go into next year with Eli Manning, Kyle Lauletta, and Alex Tanney, you're going to hear me go up to the tallest building there is and scream my head off. He doesn't want to be in quarterback hell. That'd be the definition of quarterback hell. So, listen, the Giants are, and it's amazing, the Jets are just like, you know, whistling down the street, minding their own business. No dysfunction here. Look at the dysfunction over there. They don't know what they're doing. We can win three or four games, and you know what? We're still better than the other organization. And you know what? Right now, they are. They've got the quarterback. They've got a lot of money, and they've got some pieces on that defense. And again, I'm not saying the Giants can't have a terrific draft. I think they have four picks in the fifth round. They can have a terrific draft. And they can hit home runs in free agency. But they are still a team that has a lot of holes. And the defense, the way it looks now, and again, it can switch and it will switch. The defense, the way it looks now, is laughable. Laughable. 800-919-3776. We'll start out with the Giants. We'll get into a little bit of the Yankees, who all of a sudden, it's like, you know what, do you open up the Brinks truck and say, Dallas Keuchel, we would like your services for 2 years and $40 million.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
You know, last time we saw a football playoff win in this city was the Giants Super Bowl 46 title. That's a long time. I mean, football in this city has been bad for a long time now, hasn't it? It's time for that to change. I really do feel like the Jets are heading in the right direction. Now, they could have an awful offseason and you could feel differently. You know, like bringing in a Dante Moncrief as your big offseason acquisition in the passing game. But I do like the direction they're heading in. Now, you got the money. You got the picks. Now you just got to make it work. 800-919-3776. Giants are nowhere near the postseason. Now, I don't think the Jets are either, but the Giants are. And that's the problem. At least the Jets know it. We're slowly building to something. It feels like the Giants deem it necessary that before Eli is done, let's give him one more whatever. He's not getting one more whatever, unless that whatever is seven wins. Could they win seven games? Yeah, I guess that's possible. Is that what your ultimate goal is? No. The ultimate goal should be, hey, you know what? We won fill in the blank, but we have the quarterback of the future. Look at the Jets. You look at last year and say, disaster? Or do you look at last year and say, hey, look, we know we have the quarterback of the future. That's what the Giants need to do. James in Spring Valley. James, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Dave, you're right. It's been a dreadful. Football has been dreadful in this city for quite some time, and it's very sad. And I'm a Giants fan, and this is very depressing. And this once proud franchise is now it's disorganized. It's the circus, and it's very sad. And I never thought I would say this about a Giants team, and it's sad. And my question to ask you is, has the Giants now become the most dysfunctional franchise in New York, overtaking the New York Knicks?
I'm not going to say that over the Knicks yet because, yes, the Knicks have done well, but they've done nothing yet, right? I mean, they've cleared everything away, but if you go out and you sign Chris Middleton and God knows, and Jimmy Butler this offseason and wind up with Cam Reddish, is that a sensational offseason? So,
no.
I think the Knicks are still drinking the beer, and maybe the Giants are saying, can I have a sip? But I still would give it to the Knicks right now.
All right. Thanks, man. And go Islanders, bro.
Have a nice day. Absolutely. Yeah, that's what we need. 800-919-3776. Go Islanders. Beat the Flyers. Yay. Kevin in Hillsdale. Kevin, you're on 98.7.
Dave, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Two points. One, I think Eli's really to blame besides the offensive line. You have a quarterback here who is either failing to adapt to the new rules or unwilling to adapt to the new rules of the game. Easier said than done, but all he has to do is throw the ball downfield. Chances are there's going to be an offensive pass interference call. How often have we seen Eli not throw the ball down the field? Whether you know he's going for those short dink passes or those slant routes to Odell or Shepard.
Kevin, it's a combination. He's not the quarterback that you need right now. He's not mobile at all. He's not willing to stand in there and take a hit. And in fairness to him, they've done him no favors around him. With the lack of offensive line for the last 5, 6, 7 years, they've really done no favors for him.
No, they haven't. And my one other point, you mentioned Josh Rosen earlier in the program. If the Giants go out and trade him, that is a complete embarrassment. You could have had him at number two. Now you're giving away future draft picks, albeit maybe a third next year, like you said, and a fourth and a fifth this year. But that's an embarrassment. You could have had him at number two, and now you're giving away draft picks for someone that's going to have last year.
If I get Josh Rosen for next year's three and a five this year or four this year, how is that an embarrassment?
But can't you start building the future in those later draft picks?
Yeah, but now I get a stud running back and potentially a big-time quarterback. How would that – if you like Rosen and he turns out to be good and you get him for even for your second overall pick this year, for 37, how is that a failure?
I just don't like giving away draft picks for someone
for
that
the,
you
for a quarterback
to begin with.
Yeah, but if you took him last year at two or you took Darnold last year at two, you wouldn't have had Saquon Barkley.
That's fine with me. Listen, I've been arguing with my father-in-law for the last year and a half about this. I would have been fine with that because Saquon Barkley, yes, generational talent, understandable. But if he's not going to get you to the promised land, then why have him? Barry Sanders, Hall of Famer.
Look, Kevin, I agree with you. All I'm saying is if you stepped into Saquon Barkley last year and now this year you trade not first-round picks to get your quarterback of the future – and it works, that's hard to argue with.
Correct. But that, I mean, only time will tell that, I guess. But the short term, I just can't stomach that. You know, I've been going to Giant games since 2002.
Oh, all the way back to
2002. A lot of bad games in the early part of the century. And to see it kind of just all fall apart, it's unstomaching, I guess.
Yeah, if that were a word, that would probably be correct. And thanks for the call.
Probably.
Right? I mean, it would be unstomaching. And I understand it, and it's a tough, and it's kind of an unknown for Giants fans too. I mean, if you're a 45-year-old Giants fan, you've really seen very little rough patches. You know, I became a Giants fan in 1979, so you saw that a couple of years. And then Lawrence Taylor came in, and you go to the playoffs, and you win the Super Bowl in '86, and you win the Super Bowl in '90. Then you go back to the playoffs under Dan Reeves. Then you had a little bit, you know, the Dave Brown after Phil Simms era, but not terrible. And then you got Eli in 04, and then you won two more. But these last 7 years have been really rough. Now, can you call up your buddy who's a Cleveland Browns fan and say, you know what, you don't know what it's like? No. But for a franchise that's had, I don't know, 40 years, more or less, or 35 years of very successful football? Is this foreign to a lot of people? Yeah. And it's also bad. And it's not like, well, you know what, give me two or three bad years and then you'll be good. It's the Knicks version of rebuilding. Well, in two or three years, we'll be the same exact thing we were 3 years ago. That's ridiculous. Matt in the car. Matt, you're on 98.7.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So successful Super Bowl teams, you know, are good in all phases. They have pass rushes. They can protect their quarterback. That's what the Patriots do. They're deep. The Giants are so far away from that. They need so many holes to fill. So my point where I'm going is I think it's time, before you get into an Antonio Brown situation, that you trade Odell, because he can just devalue himself. Because I think most Giant fans can acknowledge that next year is not going to be a banner year. You know, they stripped everything down for the rebuild by getting rid of especially all the defensive players. They have so many needs that I think they really should trade Odell. And then you can afford to get a quarterback and rebuild your defense. So, and your comments on that.
Listen, I've said it before. If I get overwhelmed with a trade for Odell Beckham, would I consider it? I would. I mean, you know, if you take Dwayne Haskins, is there any better security blanket than Odell Beckham? No, but I think you have to look and say, how much can I get in return for this guy? Is this someone I want to build around? Would I rather go in the direction of Saquon Barkley as the face of my franchise? I'm torn. I can see the argument for dealing him. I can see the argument for keeping him. Because talent like that doesn't come around very often. And he is, and this is a long storied franchise. He is the greatest wide receiver they've ever had, and it's not close. And you can bring up Del Schaffner, and you can bring up Ernest Gray, and you can bring up Stephen Baker, and you can bring up Mark Ingram, and you can bring up Akeem Nix, and you can bring up Victor Cruz. It's not close. He is unbelievable. He's also a headache at times. And you know what? You're also not winning with him. 800-919-3776. Let's take one more here. Let's go to Chris in Westchester. Chris, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, what's up, morning. Chris? Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to basically chime in on Eli Manning. I think he's still a pretty good quarterback. I just think that he's...
You think he's better than average right now?
Well, if you put an offensive line there, then hell yeah. You know,
you've been what you've been. You really think that Eli Manning is better than an average quarterback right now?
Well, statistically, no, because he's been sacked 47 times last year.
Well, and why is that? Because he really doesn't have the requisite skill set to succeed at the game the way it's currently played.
Well, he's no Patrick Mahomes. I get that.
Well, I mean, come on. There's a lot of guys that he's not. And I love Eli, and I think he's a Hall of Famer. But let's be fair. He's not playing at the highest of levels right now.
Well, it's because he's sacked 47 times last.
Well, how much money does he make?
$23 million.
Okay. Is he worthy of $23 million? Is he bringing $23 million of production to your franchise?
Not at all. Not at all.
And that is my issue. You know, if he was getting $11 million and you were spending money all over the place to make this team better, you know, I could buy that argument. But he's making a lot of money, and he's not living up to what it is right now. That's how I see it.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
A new streamlined version of Stump Rothenberg. One question, one answer, we move on. One question, one answer, we move on. 800-919-3776. I'm not named the top 7 of 10. All no. One question, one answer, we move on. Ty, you got it, right?
I've got it.
You're with the program?
I'm with the program.
Would you like to set the tone for Stump Rothenberg
today?
Let's
set the tone. And it's actually going to be a somber tone for Jets fans like myself. So we know Brady gets the 6 rings, mm-hmm. and it amounts to the 6 quarterbacks taken before him in the 2000 NFL draft. Who did the Jets take at quarterback in this draft?
2000 NFL draft. Oh, my goodness. The Jets. Well, they took Pennington in that draft.
That is correct.
Yeah. Is that the year the Jets had? Didn't they took, well, I'm not going to get into it, but I think they took Sean Ellis also was in that draft.
They used the 18th pick to take Chad Pennington.
Anthony Becht also. But we're not going to slow down. That's the question. There you go. Ty, you set the tone. 800-919-3776. Bill in Queens. Follow the lead, Bill. You're on Stump Rothenberg.
How much did team founder Tim Mara purchase the New York Giants for in 1925?
$500.
You are correct.
Boom! That's what we do. You step in, you place your order, you get your soup, you move out. 800-919-3776. Ty, you knew I was going to get that one, right?
Yes, but no celebrating. We just got to kind of move it along. Let's move it along.
A little celebrating, though. I mean, two for two is reason to celebrate a little bit. Spike in Jersey. Spike, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning. The shortest elected American president served 15 months. Who is it?
15 months. So it's got to be Madison or Harrison then. Madison.
Incorrect. Zachary Taylor.
How short was he?
15. No, not the shortest in height.
Oh.
He served.
was going to say, James Madison was, I think, the shortest president. Well, that was confusing. Just who served 15 months as president would have been more appropriate. All right, Chris and Bethpage. Chris, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
In the Super Bowl era, only team to win a game without completing a pass.
Wow.
Yep, it happened. I'll tell you the year, 1974.
Now, you're talking about, this is not in the Super Bowl, this is just in the Super Bowl era.
No, the Super Bowl era, in the Super Bowl era. So I'm not giving you, I'm sure it happened back in the 1930s or 40s, but in the Super Bowl era, only team to win a game without completing a pass.
The Eagles.
Buffalo Bills, they beat the Jets in 1974 in September. It was a windy, rainy game.
That is unbelievable. All right, there you have it. That's a nice question. John in Manhattan. John, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, John.
Listen, Wednesday was the 42nd anniversary of where a woman set the Madison Square Garden record for most points scored in a basketball game. Who was she?
So this is obviously in a college game.
Yes.
42 years ago is what? Is 1977.
Seven.
Nancy Lieberman.
Wrong.
Who was it?
It was Carol Blazejowski. She scored 52 points against Queens College March 7th, 1977.
All right. Well, let's go to Trey in Brooklyn. Mish, we're coming to you next, so be ready. Trey, go ahead.
What up, Dave? All right, the question is, what was the original name of the family that the Sopranos were under, that they worked for? What was the name of the family that the Sopranos worked for? Because it wasn't the Soprano family at first.
Original name of the Sopranos that they worked under?
Yeah, that they worked under, because Tony wasn't the boss at first. You know, that he was.
Oh,
the
Aprils.
So
Jackie April.
They worked with Jackie April, but he got the job because their boss went to prison, and he was the acting boss. Jackie April was.
Yeah, Jackie's what I know, and Jackie died of cancer, I believe.
He died of cancer, right? Okay, well, the original name was the DeMeo family.
All right. Yeah, but see, I don't know about that because Jackie April Senior, because remember Jackie Junior, I believe, dated Meadow. Jackie Senior. Was the acting boss when Sopranos started.
So all this useless information is not going to distract us from the fact that you're 0 for your last four.
Yeah, but I started at 2 for 2.
Yeah, but you're now 0 for your last four.
But you're very negative. All right, Mish, you're up.
What was the boxer's name in the movie Harlem Nights?
Ooh. All right, so that's Richard Pryor. All right, huge guy. Remember this. I don't know that I'm going to... And he was... Didn't he stutter?
Yes, he stuttered.
You want his first and last name?
Yes.
I don't know. Was it Jack?
Jack is right.
Jack is right. I don't know the last name.
Jack Jenkins. So partial point.
All right. But I remember the stuttering, and I remember that his name was Jack. And that was a very good movie, by the way. All right, 800-919-3776. Brian in Clifton is on Stump Rothenberg. Go ahead, Brian.
Hi, Dave. Good morning. I wanted to ask you, which running back had the most catches in the NFL in the 2018 season? He was first for running backs, eighth overall in the league.
McCaffrey, no?
Correct, 107. Your guy, yeah. Barkley, was second.
Right. It's a nice question. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Alex in Huntington. The Streamline Stump Rothenberg tie is sensational. Would you agree, by the way?
I think so as well.
Yeah. All right, Alex, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Dave? My question is, there's two guys that played both in the NCAA Final Four and the Super Bowl. One is the recently retired Julius Peppers. Who's the other guy?
So Final Four and Super Bowl.
Yep.
And it's not Tony Gonzalez.
Nope.
Is it a long time ago?
Fairly long. It's not that long. It's, you know, our era.
I don't know. Chuck Connors. Not Chuck Connors. I don't know.
Donovan McNabb.
All right. Okay. 800-919-3776. Connie, I'm told this is a good question, Connie, in Franklin Square.
Oh, thank you.
This is what my call screener says. Now he will be to blame if it's not, but he says, take this one. It's a great question.
Oh, well, I stumped the curator of the Yankee magazine with this one.
Oh, wonderful.
The pitcher who relieved Mariano Rivera in his last game at Yankee Stadium.
So you're looking for who came in after Mo?
Yes. He's from Long Island, so you should know this.
Oh. Who came in after Mo? Well, the only Long Island pitcher I can think of is Alan Watson, and it's clearly not him.
No. He works for the Yankees now.
He works for the Yankees now?
Yeah.
That's some shoes to fill, huh? Who came in after?
Claim
to fame. Oh, is it Daly?
Yes, you're right. Very good.
All right, look at that. And that, Ty, the only reason you wanted her to ask that question to me is because you thought I was going to get it wrong.
Well, I thought it
was a
phenomenal
question. That's the only reason. I know what you, it was diabolical. That's the only reason.
She asked it to you,
and you had no idea.
Look how excited she was when you got it right.
Well, I can't help this. This is what happens. It's thrilling. To be on this segment is thrilling.
It is, and we got one more.
I think we're good.
You don't want to take the chance and go one more?
Mm-mm. No, I think we're good. I mean, to end on that, I had no idea who's from Long Island, by the way. But I think we leave it at that.
I think you're chickening up.
No, I think that's a high note, and you want to end on a high note. That's what George Costanza says. You want to end on a high note.
I think the people want to see you take one more.
I don't think so. I think we're good.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Let's be honest now. The 11 o'clock hour has missed something over the last couple of weeks. And you say, you can't put your finger on it, but it just hasn't been exactly right. Well, that's because RJ Bell has not been with us for a couple of weeks. But he's back today, and we wish him a hearty good morning to RJ Bell. How are you?
Back, baby, back. Not on a ton of sleep, so you might be able to out-debate me, Dave, today.
Well, I don't think today would be any different than most days that you
join
us on the show.
It would be like, wow, we haven't heard this, the whole year.
Yeah, but come on. I mean, listen, everybody, you have kids, life gets in the way, you don't feel well, things happen. Nobody sleeps a lot. For that to be your launching off point, unless you're on a 24-hour bender, it's kind of a weak statement, RJ.
No, I just want you to feel confident and really just bring the best that Dave has.
Now, before we get into this, we have a lot to do in a shorter amount of time. The check to Canty has, in fact, been mailed, right?
Yeah, well, mailed. It should have arrived. I guess it would have went out on Wednesday, so it was sent to the station. We had the video of the signing, the video of it being put in the envelope. So we are rock solid.
All right, and we will officially let you know when that has been received. I don't think it's happened yet, but I don't know that that's any fault of you. That's just the way the mail system works and the way it goes through the company here at ESPN. All right, we have a lot to get into today. So do you want to start with like some NFL? Do you want to start with college basketball? You choose your fancy.
This Zion situation to me is fascinating.
And by the way, just to interrupt you real quickly, it's just been, we knew he wasn't going to. I don't know why this is such a surprise, but he's been announced as officially out for the big matchup against North Carolina tonight.
And I've got a theory on this one.
Can I tell you what your theory is before you say it?
You know, if you do this, I'll be very impressed.
All right, here's what your theory is going to be. He's magically not going to be healthy enough. They're going to tell, he's going to come back. He's not going to be healthy enough to play in the ACC tournament. The seedings that will come out next Sunday, of which they will expect him to come back, so Duke will still get a one. After that, at which point, Coach K is going to say, you know what, in fact, he's not going to play in the tournament.
Yeah, I do think there is an element of delaying the reality, the announcement of it, because of the seedings. I think you're absolutely right about that. But to me, what is even the stronger case is he won't play again, in my opinion, Zion, this college basketball season or any college basketball season.
So you think his college career is done?
I do. And I made a bet on our show. Someone gave me 4-1. So 250 wins me 1,000 if he doesn't play again. And here's my thinking. If he plays, what shoes will Zion have to wear?
Well, he'll have to wear the Nike.
And at that point, whatever leverage he has with Nike off the shoe exploding disappears. Right? Because the theory is, imagine the commercial. Close your eyes, unless you're driving, and imagine the Adidas commercial where you see Zion crumple in a heap. Somehow the camera zooms into the Nike logo. You see him holding his knee, his whole career perhaps at stake. Then the music changes. Then you see Zion slam dunking. When he lands, he's wearing Adidas shoes. To me, there is so much leverage with this Nike situation that if he does play even one game in Nikes, he's saying, oh, they're fine. The leverage disappears. I think we're talking about tens of millions, and I think it's all about the shoes.
So you feel strongly that we won't see him again?
Well, listen, I got a plus. You know, I got a 4-1.
All right, so then let me ask you this.
So
Fezzik? Is this Fezzik?
No, it's the other guy, Brad Powers.
All right, so if Powers said to you, RJ, even money, would you have taken that?
At the time?
Right now.
Right now, if I had to predict the odds, I'd put the odds of him playing up 40%.
So you would take it? So you'd take even money?
I would take even money.
Wow. I hope he plays.
What do you think?
I think he plays.
Lot of money.
I think he plays.
And again, that's the beauty of it. I think most people do. But here's my question. Do you really believe today that his leg is not, or his knee is not healthy enough to play?
I believe that he's probably close to 100%, and there's really no reason to push him to play in what, even though it's a huge game and it's a rivalry game.
I mean, this is probably the biggest. I mean, if Duke,
but in essence, RJ, this is a meaningless game.
Well, unless you think a one seed's meaningless.
Would you rather have him at 100% health, or would you rather have him play tonight and potentially win?
No, I hear you. I just wonder how a knee sprain that is supposed to be so mild is something that is still an issue.
Well, it's only been 2 weeks.
I recover pretty quickly from those kind of knee sprains.
Well, we know you're the kind of athlete that you are. I mean, you know, you're in a different class.
To be honest with you, Dave, one time, and I was playing a lot of basketball between maybe when I was 22, 23, right after college, I hurt my ankle so bad it took like 9 weeks to get back on the court. That is not Division I level stuff, FYI.
All right, so here's my question for you. I guess the number is what? Carolina's -3 tonight?
Is that what you're – and I can get the update. That's what it was yesterday.
That's what I had seen. I saw it was like 1.5, and without him it was going to be 3, but you could probably get something more accurate. They killed him the first time out. Now, I think a lot of that, RJ, tell me if you agree with this, is because it was just a shock to not have him when you anticipated having him for the game. But
And I think it was uncertain of how severe the injury was at the time, which was a real negative for Duke.
But tell me how you can't love Carolina if that is the number laying 3 in this game tonight.
Well, I tell you this, Zion's value, and let me ask you, if I would have asked you the right after his injury, how much is Zion worth per game, points per game?
I would say I'm gonna be terrible at this. I'm gonna say 7.
Well, I tell you, you're moving in the direction that everyone's moving towards. The initial thoughts were 5, and now it's moving towards 7. Huh. And oh, by the way, North Carolina favored by 4 right now. Up
so
a pregame dog.
I wasn't too far off.
And 78% of the cash, 70% of the tickets on North Carolina.
So you're telling me that Duke would be about a 3-point favorite if he was playing in this game?
Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
Yeah, I agree. Remember, not to get too technical, but when you go through pick 'em, it those points don't mean as much because a game can't end in a tie.
Now, do you have a pick of the weekend?
In college basketball?
Anything.
You know, I got
AAF? Anywhere you want to go.
I tell you, we've been doing a ton of AAF. It's, I mean, it's almost ludicrous. But, you know, the story I love to tell is in July, I usually spend about 2 hours in aggregate talking about the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest odds. So whatever the biggest bet is at any given time, that's what people love to talk about. I'll take North Carolina here because, to me, I think if I am right that there's a decent chance Zion's out for the year, the team probably has a sense of it, and I think that's probably demoralizing.
Wow. If he's out, it would put such a different feel on college basketball this season, wouldn't it? Because everyone – but here's the thing, RJ. They're still the prohibitive favorites to win the national championship.
Well, no.
I saw they were.
No. Here's the thing. And we've been saying this now for, what, 7 months? Bookies are bad. So if you have a situation where if Zion plays, oh, Duke maybe should be plus 250, plus 300. And if he doesn't play, Duke should be, you know, a much bigger payoff. You think the bookies would split the difference, figure out the odds of him playing, and find that middle ground. No, they just end up just putting the odds up as if he's going to play. And if he doesn't, it's like, tough luck. You took a bad number, sucker. I mean, that's literally how they think about it.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.